A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Marital Martinis. I'm Adam. Here is Danielle.
Hello.
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 How you feeling?
Oh.
Is that like too much of a loaded question?
Yeah.
It's like
there's so many levels.
You can't put it all into
one. I put a post out the other day on our Instagram talking about how I'm feeling. And then after that, just more and more piled on top of it. And I think I'm feeling how a lot of people are feeling, like we're drowning a little bit. I hate to be melodramatic, but I'm not being melodramatic. I think so many of us are feeling like that.
Yes.
But I also think that an episode like this, like what we're about to do, is a good little break from everything.
Yeah, just from everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And just like forget about it for an hour and just sit here and talk about whatever we're about to talk about.
Yeah. We're not really sure. You'll find out when we do.
Right.
Quickly to address everything that's going on top of the fact that, did you know that there's a pandemic going on?
Well, nobody talks about it anymore, so how would we know?
It went from like overnight from now it's sort of like COVID what? But
right.
Anyway, but the news unfortunately just gets worse and worse and more horrific. I do want to say, first of all, thank you everyone who supported my Instagram posts and everything about George Floyd and all of the just awful stuff going on. You know, we have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of work to do. You have a lot of work to do, Adam. We have a lot of work to do just like, you know, to understand the problems that are going on. And we are going to do the work and we are going to use our platform. Next week, I am talking to someone who is an expert in talking to your kids about race and, you know, racial issues and problems and how we can help. I didn't want to talk about it today because it would have been rushed and I want to do it some kind of justice, and in whatever way possible. I'm also putting together a resource guide of all kinds of Instagram accounts, places to donate, books that you can get. I'm going to compile it and then I will send it out, as an email. So if you're not on our email list, please go to our website right now and sign up. I think that, it will have a lot of really good information. I'm going to try to break it down and simplify it. It is on our mind every second what is going on, and we are in many ways going to try to use our platform to spread the word and shout the word, but I didn't want to rush it, so we're not doing it this week right now on this podcast episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did want to say something about, because now that we're all done talking about COVID, and it seems like it's behind us now because everything else
until
on the
second
news,
wave hits.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. All right, for just in my
professional
dummy
opinion.
No, I was going the opposite way.
Yeah, shit.
I'm a dummy. I am not,
you're
a
not
doctor.
A dummy.
I know nothing. Please.
You're not a doctor.
For all
only
of you,
when we role play.
This, I mean, from what I think, it's real. Okay, so.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. And for everybody who doesn't think so.
Nobody who listens to our podcast doesn't think it's real.
All right, if you know someone, please just tell them, this is a real thing.
Oh.
Stay home. I don't.
Yeah, because those people listen.
I don't want a second wave. I can't handle a second wave. I'm back to work. I've been back to work for 2 weeks.
He can't handle coming home again and being with us is what he's really trying to say.
But listen, I got, you know, my business to think about, and I I can't imagine having to close again. Like, we won't be able to survive. All small businesses, we're not Amazon, we're not Whole Foods, we're not, like, we can't cater to everybody during pandemic. We're not allowed to. So, you know, as most of you know, we are in New Jersey, and as of 2 weeks ago, we were allowed to open curbside only. And if you saw us on Tamarin, by the way.
I hope people didn't. I looked so terrible.
No, that's not true. But you saw that I was prepping for when we were going to open. I worked on the website. I wanted to get things going. And if I'm allowed, can I get it like a little cheap plug here, by the way? Yes or no?
I don't know what you're plugging.
Okay. So I want to throw out there for anybody else. I want to plug my business on our podcast.
Is that allowed?
If that's okay.
I mean, is that, I don't know.
Do
your fellow business people, i.e. your mom, want to be associated with our podcast?
They are, but it comes with a caveat, and I will explain.
Why you talked about it with her?
Oh, no.
Did she say, please don't talk about your business and anal sex in the same sentence?
Exactly. We do have some fun bachelorette products, if anybody's looking. Uh-huh. But I wanted to throw it out there. I am trying to reestablish the business. The website is working. Thank God it's working, because we're doing okay. Nothing like when we were open. But I wanted to throw it out there. If anybody out there is doing these curbside graduations, I meant drive-by graduations or quarantine graduations or birthdays or any of that kind of stuff, come get it from me. I got a lot of fun stuff, a lot of really good stuff.
But you have to live in the area.
No, that's the thing. That's the caveat I was going to talk about.
Tell me more.
Please. Okay. Check it out. It's still a work in progress. Please don't shame me for what the website is today. I'm still working on it, but I did a lot so far.
And they'll get them.
Partyfairfreehold.com. Party, FAIR, Freehold, FREEHOLD.com. That's my business. I know a lot of people ask, because all I ever say is that I'm in retail, but I wanted to try to get it out there. Uh-huh. I wanted to get it out there. If anybody needs anything, I'm happy. I would love to ship to anybody in the United States, except if you're in New Jersey. That's the caveat.
Will you be signing balloons for people?
And that's the second caveat.
Oh, you can't get balloons.
Please don't order an inflated balloon. I'm not going to ship an inflated balloon to you.
Will you be signing graduation banners on request?
Sure, why not? But no, it's a conflict of interest. If you're in New Jersey, I can only do curbside pickup. We have a lot of stores. I don't want to stomp on their territory and get their customers. So, you know, if you're in New Jersey, it's curbside pickup only. Please go to the Party Fair if there is one near you. Rest of the country, I'm happy to ship to you. I'm happy to. And just for Marriage and Martinis listeners, 20% off.
Shut the hell
and
up.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
I'm such a nice guy.
You really are.
20% just for you. I don't get this to anybody else but you guys. I swear to you. M&M. Promo code at checkout, 20% off, whatever you... Don't buy balloons,
M-N-M.
Please.
M-N-M.
M-N-M. Mm-hmm. Use it, partyfairfreehold.com, and I would love to support you. I would love you to support me. I know we're all trying to celebrate as much as we can right now, and all I want to do is help you guys out, and all I want you is to help me out. Is that fair?
It's fair.
Good.
Absolutely.
My mom said it's okay.
My mom said it's okay.
So I can do it.
My mom says I'm the best. Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Nice little plug.
Right.
Okay, good. Okay, so stories.
Yes.
We were trying to rack our brains because I was trying to rack my brain. You have been back at work, like you said, and no days off, just working straight through. And everything that's going on, we didn't want to do something super heavy because, number one, I don't think mentally either of us can handle it. And I don't think anybody right now really wants to listen to anything else heavy besides what the heavy things going on already in the world are. So this is an hour maybe less if the stories are shorter than we're assuming.
I'd say about 20 minutes.
Just kind of like listening to some fun stories that maybe you've heard on our episodes before. Maybe you haven't, because we don't remember, because we're not usually sober when we're telling them. And
I have no idea what
we don't know what we've told, what we haven't. About. But we do have some pretty crazy stories. And in fact, I think we could do a bunch of episodes, because I know tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to think of 17 stories that we should have told and we didn't. But I just wanted to, like, you know, just an episode of Danielle and Adam stories, because sometimes I think people say, no way does all this fucking happen to you. You're lying.
I know. We have like crazy stories. That just don't seem like real.
So I asked you to think about some of your favorites. I thought about some of my favorites.
And I did
there's,
not.
There's no order. I'm not going chronologically or whatever. No order of least fucked up to most fucked up. Just
and
stories.
Yeah, so I'm going off the cuff here. I did not think about this.
Okay.
I did not prepare.
Well, you were at all of these stories that I'm about to tell.
So at least I can contribute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a couple in my mind. I don't know how well they'll play out in as far as talking about on this podcast, but they were at least fun to me.
Okay, so well, I'm going to show you my list, and you pick which one from my list you would like us to start
with. Oh, I thought you were
going to
surprise me.
Oh, should I surprise you?
Yeah.
Well, okay, then I will start way back in the day. I'm going to start not the first story I wanted to tell, but we always talk about that. Okay, we talk about my OCD all the time. It is actually, tomorrow is the last day of maternal mental health month. We talk about the fact that when I was pregnant with our first child, it was a shit show. I had horrible, debilitating OCD. I moved out. I moved in with my parents. At the same time, we were moving into a new house, and we were trying to buy furniture and all of this stuff, and I was trying to pretend to be a little bit, I would say normal, although I hate that word, normal, and participate. So we headed to a very fancy mall called the Short Hills Mall in New Jersey. It is in North Jersey, to go to Pottery Barn and William and Sonoma and all of those places. Meantime, my OCD is off the charts.
And I did not even know about what was going on.
You knew what was going on, but you did not know the extent of it, I think.
Nor did I understand it.
Nor did you understand. Yeah. So we are in William and Sonoma.
Yeah.
William Sonoma. And do you know what story I'm about to tell?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. And my OCD is just anything and everything I see, I am either hallucinating, or it feels like you're hallucinating sometimes when you have OCD. So we're in William Sonoma, and I'm just looking for something to obsess about. So all of a sudden, and like I've said before, I have what's called scrupulosity. So scrupulosity is when you think you are going to hurt people, right? And it comes from a place of, it's actually means, usually people who have used scrupulosity are really good people, because they're just so fearful of ever hurting anybody. I had it in my mind that I had for some reason, gone and turned the thermostat.
Well, yeah, I think.
The way up.
You thought you like bumped into it. So it turned it up.
Maybe I said I thought I bumped into it. Maybe I really thought I had turned it all the way up.
Oh, okay. So I was trying to rationalize
like I was
it a little
really,
bit.
We left the mall with me thinking it was going to burn down.
Yes, you were going to burn down the mall, mm-hmm, and kill everybody inside.
It was going to burn down, yeah, because I had turned. And I was legitimately, I didn't sleep that night.
Well, yeah, I remember thinking, I'm like, hey, Danielle, look, do you see this toaster? You see this waffle maker? Mm-hmm. Like, look at these dish towels. Aren't these nice? You would like this.
And I couldn't concentrate on
anything. And I'm
like,
what the fuck is going on with you? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you not, like, this is fun. Why are you not?
This should be fun.
And then we went out to dinner with your sister and brother-in-law after
we
met for dinner. And I was talking to them, like, I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening. Like, we were trying to have a fun day, and it was just like a disaster of a day.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch of months of disaster. But my brother-in-law, even the next day, I was still harping on it. And I think my brother-in-law called Williams-Sonoma and was like, I just need you to clear something up for my sister-in-law. And he like legitimately asked him, like, did your store burn down last night? Like,
Is that true?
Yeah, because he's a good brother-in-law. And he, you know, he knew it was, the whole thing was insanely ridiculous. And of course, then he asked and it was all over and I was on to the next thing. Whatever that was of, you know, some kind of OCD that, you know, once one thing is over, within 2 seconds, you're on to the next. But that moment, and there were many of them, I think really encapsulates just how real it feels. I mean, it felt real to me, and it wasn't, obviously, you know, but you feel like you really did that, and it's insanity. I mean, I hate to use that word too, but that's the only way to describe, feels like insanity looking back. But it's very real and it happens and, you know, lots of people go through it. So
yeah. And but yeah, there's a lot of those stories.
Yeah, we have a lot of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
You're literally just gonna, you don't have anything.
I have one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So do you remember, which obviously you do, for your 35th birthday, you know, for your 35th birthday, I wanted to do something special.
I think I was pregnant.
No.
Oh.
It was your 30. I think it was your 35th.
Okay.
But you, I wanted to do something special and 35th. Wait, it's 2020.
It was my 30th.
Was it my 30th?
Because I was pregnant with Ian. Yeah. It was my 30th.
No. This is when you were not pregnant.
Oh, then it was my, yes.
Yeah, 35th.
My 35th, yes. Yeah, okay, yeah. Good.
So I was planning for so long. I was so nervous. I barely slept the night before. You had no idea. So the morning of your birthday, I come into the room at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, okay, wake up. We're going to Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Like every woman's dream.
I was like, pack your bags.
Yeah.
And
my husband is surprising me with Mexico. Any woman would be beside herself, ecstatic. It was the most romantic gesture ever.
Well, wait, no. It was even more romantic because the kids were taken care of. I already scheduled everything between
friends. All right, this is debatable. Debatable. Debatable.
Moms.
Debatable. Okay.
Really?
Debatable. Yes.
I did as much as I could to schedule.
Yeah, there you go.
To take care of everything.
Okay.
Maybe I left you a few little cliffhangers there, but I was so excited.
They had a place to sleep.
That's good enough.
Yeah, okay.
I was so excited. I walked in and I said, hey, wake up, pack your bags. We're going to Mexico for a week.
So
excited. And what'd you do? Freak out, cry, and throw a tantrum maybe a little bit?
I started to cry. Not happy tears either. Like I was pissed.
Yeah, you were mad.
I was mad. I was upset. Looking back,
beautiful resort.
It was beautiful. It was a wonderful trip. Once I got there and was there for like 24 hours, I was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Listen, it is very stressful for last minute when I know I'm going
I am going to try to explain it
because for the women out there, I can't speak for men. I can only speak for us women. First of all, before I go on vacation, I don't like to admit it, but you know, you always have that, I need to lose 10 pounds. I want to look okay in a bathing suit. Like, it was the middle of winter, my birthday, or the middle of, you know, my birthday's late November. It was cold outside. I didn't have summer clothes prepared. I did not have, anything prepared for the kid. Like, it seemed very stressful. Like, I like time to plan
right
and to get ready.
If anybody feels sorry, please go to Danielle's GoFundMe page for her feeling bad about herself for
saying I was stressed out at the thought, like, you didn't even give me 24 hours.
No, I was trying to
I know, but it's a little stressful. I had to pack.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not kidding. Women out there, please, you know, if you had 12 hours to pack in the wrong season, how many hours did I have?
Like four.
There you go.
Even.
In the off season. Okay. You don't know. You said our kids were taken care of. They had somewhere to live. They have extracurricular activities. They have homework.
Okay. We have texting. We have emailing. They had a place to sleep. I took care of that.
Listen, yes. If I could do it all again, I would get very excited. If you surprise me when this is all over, I promise I will react much differently.
Yeah. I don't believe you, so I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do we need to take a break yet?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be, I think, a shorter episode. So we'll take a break now.
Okay.
And be right back.
Sounds good.
Father's Day is coming up real soon, so I have the perfect gift to honor the dads in all of our lives. Duke Cannon is offering the Patriot Collection filled with three commemorative Great American Beer soaps made with actual Budweiser beer. But it's more than beer soap made in the USA that gives credence to its name. For every Patriot Collection purchased on DukeCannon.com, they will donate $5 to Folds of Honor, a nonprofit that provides educational scholarships to spouses and children of America's fallen and disabled military service members. Duke Cannon right now is offering these amazing products, the Duke Cannon's Patriot Collection, which I just mentioned, and also you can get the Great American Beard Soap by itself, Great American Beard Balm, Great American Beard Oil, and I've said it so many times, they just know how to name their products, and they smell incredible. And I get asked by people all the time, what do I personally use myself? Because literally, I use this stuff every single day. I love these beer and bourbon soaps that I just spoke about. And the perfect everyday hair shampoo, News Anchor 2-in-1 Hair Wash. Try the Cedarwood. Trust me, you're going to love it. And then also their Trench Warfare Natural Charcoal Deodorant, the Sandalwood and Amber. Love that stuff. And possibly my favorite product of all time from Duke Cannon, the Cooling Aftershave Balm. Trust me, it feels amazing after a shave. Tingly, minty, cooling. It helps leave your skin so smooth after a shave. You got to go check out Duke Cannon. Please go check them out. You're going to love this stuff. Go to DukeCannon.com, DukeCannon.com. Use our promo code MARRIAGE for 10% off your entire order and free shipping over $20. You hear that? Free shipping over $20. DukeCannon.com. Use our promo code MARRIAGE for 10% off your entire order.
Okay, so the next one I wanted to tell is something that's really exciting to me, because when it happened, it was just so unexpected. And we go into New York a lot, and we have a hotel that we've only stayed at a few times. It's very expensive. It's very beautiful. It's called the Greenwich Hotel, and it's owned by Robert De Niro. It's downtown. If you have, you know, if you ever have like a super special occasion and are looking to like, you know, spend a lot of money on a hotel.
No, honestly, like I don't like spending money on a hotel. I really don't. Anytime we go away.
We also haven't been there in 5 years.
Yeah. Anytime we go away, I like to find the nicest place I can find and get the cheapest room there. So at least we can experience the resort, but not spend a lot on the room. But this place, it's worth
It's special. Yeah, and this night especially was worth. Okay, so when you stay at the Greenwich, they have this downstairs area where if you're not staying there, you can't be there. Like, it's not like other hotels where everybody is meeting for happy hour, and it is a very, you know, kind of like exclusive small boutique-y hotel. Again, owned by Robert De Niro. So we're downstairs in this little bar area. I mean, it's a tiny bar area. And we're ordering drinks, and my best friend and her husband are coming to meet us. And all of a sudden, like, I look over, and you're next to me, and all of a sudden I look next to you, and it's Robert De Niro.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Oh, so who was it? Who was the first one?
I think the first person we saw was Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, maybe Whoopi Goldberg. She was sitting on a chair. Yeah, she was sitting on a chair. I look over, and you never know any celebrities.
No, but these are the celebrities that I know,
right?
Because they were all.
But you still would never notice them, I think, if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, because I don't look.
Right. So I'm the opposite. When I lived in New York, I lived right on Washington Square Park, and every single celebrity, like I can spot a celebrity from 50 miles away. So I say to you, I'm like, oh my God, it's Whoopi Goldberg. And you're like, oh, that's cool. But like, you're not like a big Whoopi Goldberg fan. I happen to love
Whoopi
Goldberg.
Oh, she's great.
She's great.
I like her, but yeah.
But, you know, not the ultimate, right. Like. So all of a sudden then I look over, and I don't even know. There's so many of them. I don't know who is next. I'm probably getting it out of order.
Let me chime in.
Please.
I think you're so excited.
I'm so excited.
You're like scrambling with your memory.
I feel like I'm back in the moment.
All I remember seeing was Whoopi Goldberg when we were at the bar. And then they have this outdoor area in the hotel. So the hotel, like picture like a hollowed out middle of the hotel. That's outdoors.
The courtyard, it's called.
Yeah, it's the courtyard. So nobody can act. You can't get to it unless you go through the hotel. Mm-hmm. Let's leave it at that. Mm-hmm. So we go and sit out there. Your friends meet us. They're my friends too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say that. So we're sitting there just having drinks. And obviously there's a dinner party happening that you have to walk through the courtyard to go to.
Yeah, it's a private dinner
party. So we didn't see anybody until we were sitting outside except for Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay, no? I disagree, but
I could be wrong.
You probably are wrong.
Right, please continue.
But no, okay. All I know is that we look over at one point and Robert De Niro is standing right there. And for you, that's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then there's that other guy, Chad.
Yeah.
Chad.
Bronx Tale.
Bronx Tale. Chad.
Yeah, I don't know names. I can't do names. I know him.
Chad.
Right.
I don't know what his last name. Well, I'll find out. We'll put it in the notes. I can't remember. But Chad from Bronx Tale. I will try. We look over. All of a sudden, I'm sitting down. All of a sudden, I look over. And standing, like, weirdly right next to us is Sting.
No, you're so, oh, my God. You're ruining this story.
Oh, shit.
All right. Let me backtrack a little bit.
I don't know.
I don't.
What is going on? What?
I don't remember all the celebrities, but they're A list of the A list of the celebrities.
So what you're saying is, for our story episode, I don't know the stories.
No, you do not. We're okay. Sitting in the courtyard, and they're going to this private dinner event, and they're all single file walking through the courtyard right past us to dinner. I don't remember everybody that was there.
Single file.
The double
file.
Like a
kindergarten class.
Double file. Triple file.
Double file.
They're all walking in a line.
Like Madeline.
One at a time, these celebrities are coming.
Yeah, they're all stopping in front of us, doing a curtsy, and they keep going.
So
they all come. Each of them strips right in front of us.
And honestly,
goes into the room.
I don't remember the names. You can throw in the names if you want. I really don't.
I will throw in the names. It's important.
We went out to they all go in. They go to dinner. We go out to dinner. We come back to the courtyard, and they're finishing up their dinner.
Dinner. Yeah.
I'm struggling with words tonight. So we're sitting outside, and then as people are getting ready to leave, for whatever reason, Sting walks outside, and then he's just standing there.
Right, like as if he wants to like start a conversation with, as if he wanted my number.
Right.
It was.
I think he was nudging me like, hey, is that your wife?
No, I think he was legitimately like, I'm waiting for you, you know, Trudy, you go stand over there.
I was like, fuck my wife.
I can
come home with you.
Oh, fuck my wife. I would have. Like, what? You
well, fuck her
him.
First and right. Then take me.
Yeah, exactly. He was so hot. Very hot in person too. Yes, he did not disappoint.
But it was an awkward.
It was. He was just like standing there and I was sort of like, I don't know if we should talk to you because I don't know if we're worthy.
I didn't know if I was be like, Sting, you want a drink? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what to do or say. It was that awkward, like, he's just standing there.
Yeah, I think Scorsese was there. I believe we saw him. It was just one person after the other. It was just madness. And every time we looked up, then the next morning we wake up and we're walking to breakfast and standing there in front of us is Tom Brady and Giselle.
Right.
Then we go into the restaurant and we're waiting to be seated and standing there is Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann.
And that was a Bubby's. Yeah.
Then we go back to the hotel, go back into the room to have a drink.
Wait, before even that happened, we go back to the hotel. Standing in the doorway was Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. And just then we saw him another time when you got your picture with him.
Yeah, we told that story.
Yeah.
That awkward.
Yeah. So Michael Keaton standing in the doorway. Then we go back into the place. And Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's sitting in the lounge. With like
with
five hot girls surrounding him.
It was like the craziest, like everywhere we went that, and you would not let me talk to anybody.
No.
You would not let me ask for any autographs. You would not let me ask for any pictures. Like you were like their bodyguards.
You know what? They're trying to have dinner. Leave them. Like, what are you going to do with an autograph?
Care.
What are you going to do with an autograph of a celebrity? Like,
I would have done so. I didn't know. I didn't need an autograph. A picture would have been nice. But you were literally like, you were like cock blocking me the whole night, trying as if I was trying to get some cock, and you were like, no,
I couldn't even care less because I would join you if that was even possible.
Right.
But besides the point, I just like I don't know. I feel differently about the thing. I was like, leave them alone. They're at a private hotel. They're having their thing.
Listen, maybe they've been waiting to meet me.
Yeah, that's possible.
They could have been like, what it might have been why Sting was standing there like that. He was like, she's not a podcaster yet, but I know she's going to be.
Right.
So I want to meet her.
And maybe
her
one
now.
Day they would love to be on our podcast.
I might ask them to be on our podcast.
This is the kind of hotel that you go to and stay at to see this kind of celebrity outing. But they go to because they know they have this like private home of a place where mm-hmm. they won't be bothered and they won't be whatever.
Until I show up.
Right. So I was like, leave them the fuck alone.
Right.
Who cares?
Right. But every time we have stayed there, we have seen celebrities. We have not been there in quite a few years because we can't afford it.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
But, when we did used to go, it was always an awesome experience. And
we
recommend it.
We mentioned their name, by the way. So it was a little bit of a buzz marketing thing right there. So we should hit them up for something.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
We should at least get some kind of, what's it called? You know.
Comp or credit. Or,
right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Okay.
We also talk about going back to my OCD and pregnancy
and
how it all started when I was pregnant. My doctor told me that I needed to go off my SSRIs, which, you know, if you have a doctor who's telling you that, and I get messages every day from women saying, you know, thank you for talking about this. You know, I am not a doctor. I don't pretend to be. I'm not an expert, but I have done thorough research. Please go talk to other doctors who are, who have more experience with maternal mental health before you make any drastic decisions and go off any medication. That is one thing I always have to say. I did go off my medication, and it was because this doctor had told me to. On top of him telling me to, he just, every time I would go in and was obviously nervous and upset, he would just tell me I was going to hurt the baby if I kept being so upset. He was awful. He was an alarmist.
Well, do you remember what he... When he brought us into his office and he scared the shit out of us when you had the enlarged cyst or something?
I had a cyst on my ovary. And
which is supposedly very common.
He told me I could lose my ovary. So I said to him, you know, this was when we were trying to have a baby. This was before we had a baby. I think.
I don't
know. Oh, no. Maybe no. I was very early pregnant.
Yeah.
So he told me I had a cyst on my ovary. Then I said to him, well, okay, if I lose that ovary, what about the next one? He's like, you could develop a cyst on that one and lose that one too. Like,
it's a doctor covering all bases.
It was ridiculous.
Just to not get sued or malpractice.
Yes,
or,
it was horrible.
Yeah.
He was horrible. Anyway, I left the practice before my second child. Well, right after I had my first child. I should have left it earlier, but I just didn't have the mental capacity. I left the practice. I wrote them like a 3-page letter, all the reasons why I was leaving, all the reasons why I thought that they had treated me terribly and how I was so worried about other women who were going to be going to him. So second pregnancy, I'm at a different practice entirely, like different town, different practice, same hospital, different practice that I really liked. Night, I go into labor.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that night? We had our friends over, and we were just, like, all hanging out. And me and the other guy, they were over late. They were probably over to, like, 1 in the morning. We were drinking a lot. We were drinking, like, Grand Marnier.
Well, I wasn't due yet. I was scheduled for a C-section.
Right. Like, we knew.
I was scheduled for a C-section 2 weeks later.
Right. So we thought we're, like, in the clear. It's a Saturday mm-hmm. night. We're fine. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I go into labor next
morning.
5 in the morning.
You woke me up.
So we go to the hospital.
Hungover.
You were hungover. Go to the hospital. They take me in for a C-section. And, you know, here I am, like, you know, already, like, upset, feeling anxious. I know I'm, like, a little bit early. And, you know, C-section is, or labor in general is always just anxiety-inducing. So who walks in? That doctor,
right,
from the last practice covering the shift because it wasn't when I was scheduled to have my C-section. And he's the one who's going to do the C-section after I had written the 3-page. How many doctors do you think there are in right. central New Jersey?
Well, not only
you think,
that.
I don't know, 1,000?
I remember because you had a C-section. So you were brought into the room for prep and I had to sit outside. So he had to come to me first and talk to me. And I remember just being like oh my fucking God. Like, right. What is Danielle? Like, I hope she's fucking on morphine already.
Yeah.
Because when she sees him,
oh,
this is going to be really bad.
It was bad.
And I had to keep a straight face. I had to talk to him. I'm not going to piss him off.
Right.
You know, he's about to deliver my fucking baby right. and cut my wife open.
Right.
So I had right. to, you know, be on my best behavior.
Right. But I was literally like, all I was thinking about was like, oh my God, like of all the doctors in the world. And listen, everything was fine. Of course, he was professional and fine. And, you know, I didn't talk to him or anything. But
no, the very good doctors, very bad bedside manner.
I don't know that I would say. I don't think. I think the two are mutually not mutually exclusive. I think in order to be a really good doctor to a woman in, you know, who is facing pregnancy and, you know, labor and all these unknowns and all these uncertainties and all these like really scary things, I don't think you could be a good doctor without
If I'm outside on the street and I'm bleeding out and he pulls up, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I trust you. He's a good doctor.
He'd probably, before he saved you, he'd probably be like, listen, I'm going to save you now, but you might still get hit by a bus later.
Right.
You never know.
True.
So that was just like the crate. Like, what are the fucking chances? All the doctors
right.
in all of New Jersey, and he walks in. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I went through all that to change practices and stay away from you, and you walk in.
Well, at least he only had to be there for the delivery. So you don't have to, he wasn't there with you the whole time to make you nervous and
right.
uncomfortable.
Right, he was, yeah, he just walked into the C-section and walked out. True, true, true.
Yeah.
But
at least I got to see your placenta on the floor, and that was fun.
Oh, do you think about that sometimes when we're having sex? Turn you on.
God, the poor guy. Anybody else who's had a C-section, I guess it's probably just the husband because the wife doesn't know what the fuck is going on because you were so doped up. But the poor, like,
and I loved every
when
second
you're
of
rolled
it.
Out and the doctors leave and the room is empty, and I had to sit there and watch this poor guy walk in with a mop and a bucket.
Oh.
A bucket.
Right.
And I'm like, can I help? Like,
right.
what do you need?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to, but here's my offer.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like the poor guy.
Yeah, that's not a nice
oh,
job.
Oh, God, mm-hmm. what was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Everything inside of you was on the floor.
I know.
Oh. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one I was going to tell was a fun story with our friends. We went to Mexico. And by the way, can we just clarify, because I'm going to get feedback of why didn't you let Adam tell any stories? Blah, blah, blah. You literally do not have any stories to tell right now because you have had no time to even think of them.
I have not.
Okay.
Wait, I also want to say, does anybody else go through this? I don't know if it's just me. But I knew I was going back to work. It's been 2 weeks. So like I stopped drinking and I think maybe that fucked up my sleep scheduling. I'm falling asleep at like 9:30 at night and I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every single day. I am so fucking tired by 2 o'clock and I can't get my eyes. Like I'm falling. Is this normal? Like what is that my,
do you think you're just screwed up from like the pandemic and everything?
No, not at all. Like, is this just my like circadian rhythm? Is this looks like I'm an early riser and I'm good to go? Like, cause I get up at 4:20, 4:30 and I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not, I'm fine all day. I get tired. Like now I'm really fucking exhausted.
But it might just be a phase and you'll get out of it.
I mean, it doesn't bother me. Like I'm not, you know what I mean?
Right?
Like I'm okay. I'm functioning like mm-hmm. happily. I feel good. It's not a problem.
Well, it's also nice that you have a little bit of that time by yourself in the morning.
I, you know what?
I think that's probably it. Part of it.
Maybe because I'm so hyped up on like doing this website and getting the business back in shape. I get up early and I work on it from 4:30 till 7:30.
Yeah, and nobody bothers you.
And I'm alone. I have my coffee and like I can just sit in bed. I have an old stupid movie on in the background.
Right.
So I guess maybe that's my time and I'm enjoying it.
Right.
It's so weird. Like it's such a weird sleep.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are trying right now. Like there's literally never a time when we're alone. And even like the kids, my sister was just saying, she was like, because her son has been staying up until like, you know, 4 a.m. playing video games. Our middle son.
Yeah, I woke up at 4:15 this morning and I come down at like 4:30 to make coffee. And I hear our son in the basement doing his screaming while he's playing video games or, you know, whatever he's playing with his friends. And all of his friends are still online, too.
Yeah.
He came up at what, 6?
6. He fell asleep at 6:45. But she was saying that even with the teenagers and kids, he's 12. He's not a teenager yet. But that the nighttime is really the only time, you know, that they're not. Their parents aren't yelling at them or anything either. So like they're happy to have that time to just be with their friends without their parents being awake, you know? And
right.
it's like,
well, they can scream
their time
and
too.
Curse and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I think that it's hard right now to find time. So maybe that's also just your like subconscious way of waking up and having time to yourself.
Yeah. I like I said, you know, it's weird,
mm-hmm.
But I it's okay with me. Like it's,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah. It's weird. Nice to get up early.
Yeah. That's really early, though.
That is really early.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to Mexico back a couple years ago with best friends for a wedding, a destination wedding, and they invited our kids, which was really nice. And
are you sure it was Mexico?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. It was the Paradiso something.
Okay.
Something all-inclusive resort. So we go with our friends, and we have one of our friends is hilarious. He's so funny, and he's a prankster. Like he plays a lot of jokes and everything, but he's so funny. So we're there, and it's an all-inclusive. So obviously, at an all-inclusive,
are you talking about the phone story?
Yeah. Well, hello, can you not?
Oh, I thought you were talking about something else.
Oh.
That's why I was
confused. So we're in Mexico with our kids. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have been to an all-inclusive or on a cruise or whatever, but, like, when it comes to food, it's, like, it is a free-for-all. You just eat as much as you want. So, you know, we're eating breakfast. Then we're ordering a second breakfast to the room. Then we're having lunch. And then the kids are ordering a snack, but that snack is, like, two cheeseburgers and waffles and French toast. Like, it's just no, you know, no stopping anybody at any point. Like, it's just, you know, just it's all included, so why not? So we're all ordering a ton of food, eating all the time, you know, like just no, there's just no limit. So one night I go and I order room service. So I call and I order and our friends are in the room and I order a bunch of food and then they leave to go back to their room. And so, you know, I order like chicken fingers and, you know, hamburgers, whatever, dinner for the kids. So all of a sudden I get a call back from the dining hall, you know, from the whatever dining.
Yeah. Room service.
Yeah.
There you go.
And the guy says to me, I'm not going to do the accent because I'm terrible at accents, but he says to me, hi, is this Mrs. Silverstein? And I'm like, yeah, it is. And he's like, I'm really sorry, but I know you just put in an order for room service. We can't bring it. And I was like, okay, well, that's weird. Like, is there, you know, nobody working or whatever? He's like, no, I'm really sorry, but your family has reached their your food capacity for the day. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, you know, your family is really eating more than most families at our resort usually eat. And we are not allowed to serve you any more food for the day. And for a split second, I'm sort of like, well, that kind of, like, we have eaten a lot of food. I'm like, that kind of makes sense. And I have been feeling really badly that we're sort of taking advantage of the all-inclusive situation. For a split second, I'm thinking that. And then the next second, I'm sort of like, what the fuck? I'm like, can I talk to your manager? And he's like,
oh, no, are you Karen?
He's like, this was before Karen, okay? So he's like, I'm like, I need to talk to your manager because I'm sort of like, no, that there's no rule about how much food you can eat. And I am with several other families and they have all eaten just as much fucking food as I have and our family has. So he's like, okay, hold on. I'll get the manager. The manager comes on. I'm arguing with the manager, you know, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, as I'm getting really fucking annoyed and really angry and it's being sensed on the other end of the phone, our friend goes, Danielle. It's me. And I was like, holy shit. Like, he completely.
Well, he's really good with accents.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have lots of stories I can tell about him. But I, for a little while, was sort of like feeling shamed. Like, oh my God, I'm being shamed for eating too much food on vacation.
Yeah. Which that was really.
It was amazing.
I thought you were going with the chicken gonia story. That's where I thought you were going. That's why
you
said
Costa Rica. You should tell that one.
Next time.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think it's good enough?
Nah.
I think it's a good story.
He can only make one
appearance
per
episode.
Per episode, yeah.
That we went
if
to Costa. All right, I'll tell it quickly. I'll tell it quickly.
If he comes on, then.
He won't. Right. I'll tell it quickly. We went to Costa Rica, same couple. We get there. He gets super sick, but like really weird symptoms. He's, you know, he has like a swollen hand and his joints are hurting. He has fever. So we take him to the center of town in Costa Rica to, you know, like a 7-Eleven / doctor's office.
Well, literally, we get to the office and we're like, we're here to see the doctor. And she said, okay, he's out on lunch and he'll be back soon. We look over outside in the on the steps and he's sitting there eating a burrito.
Right.
Right outside the
Right. So our friend goes inside And he goes into like the little office, you know, like there's like little.
Like picture like a CVS walk-in clinic.
Yeah, picture like half of there's the front office, half of the shelves are stacked with medicine and the other stack are stacked with like little toys that you can buy for your kids.
No,
like
no,
souvenirs.
That's not true, actually. It was more like all the pills you can't get in the States, but you can in Mexico or Costa Rica. It was like Viagra and like you could just buy the pill or, you know, whatever.
So he goes into the room. And he tells the guy the symptoms, and the guy starts Googling the symptoms. He puts the symptoms into Google to find out what it is. So he goes to him. He's like, oh, I'm really sorry. And our friend's like, what? What's the matter? He's like, you have chikungunya. And our friend's like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, chikungunya. He's like, what? You have chikungunya. Meanwhile, it turned out he had fucking like colitis or something. Some kind of, he had rheumatoid arthritis, yeah. Right?
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Colitis was one of the symptoms of what he had rheumatoid arthritis from some kind of illness he had before or whatever, but it was just like the craziest, a shit show. Yeah.
All right.
So.
One more break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, I have a story. And I think we may have spoken about this before, but I wanted to bring it up again. It's one of my favorite stories for both of us. The first night that we met. Well, the second first time we met at Merchants in New York. And that's one of my favorite stories.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is.
You're going to get like sappy and sentimental.
Yeah,
now?
A little bit maybe. Aww. Because
can I just say, if people have not listened to the Back to the Beginning episode.
Is that where we talked
about
this?
Yeah, Back to the Beginning episode about where we met, re-met. I know that's a lot of people's favorite episode. I get that a lot. I can't remember what number it is. I'll have to check. But it's a ways back. It might be from like last spring or something. I'm not sure. Spring 2019. I'm not sure. But people love it. So.
Okay. So if any of you can remember back in the AOL days, you and I were, was it IMing?
Chatting? IMing. Instant messaging. Yeah.
Yeah. We were IMing on AOL and we met on JDate, and I had a date that night for you and another girl that I met on JDate, like just in case, as like a backup kind of thing. And I was like, Danielle looks like she's really pretty, and our IMing has been really sweet to each other, and I really like her. I want to meet her. So I decided to...
Ask me how much I weighed.
Ask you how much you weighed.
You did.
I know I did.
Yeah.
That's important. When you're IMing, it could be like a dude. Like, you have no idea who you're talking to. You have to ask questions.
So then
questions.
You say, do you have a penis?
Well, yeah, but what would they say?
All right, nobody would do that today.
Okay, but listen, when you're...
It was 1999, so
yeah,
a little
bit
different.
A different day, mm-hmm. And you had to, like, listen, you're meeting somebody, you want to...
No,
but, listen,
but okay.
If you go out and you go to a bar and you're meeting someone,
no. You
go up to the person that you're attracted to. Right?
I think
isn't
you
that
go up to the
fair?
Person who you think looks like they have a really good personality. So that's where we're different.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, so we decided to meet at this place, Merchants, in New York. And you were living in New York at the time. And I got to the place before you. And I was wearing my awesome, cool leather jacket.
If anybody from the 80s and 90s had the brown leather jacket with the map inside.
Like, all right, Ross on Friends.
Yeah.
Right? Picture that.
Yeah. Everyone who knows the map inside the jacket knows what jacket I'm talking about. Everybody had the jacket with the map inside.
Mine did not have a map inside.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't. It was a very cool, mm-hmm. hip, black leather jacket.
It was brown.
I was standing at the bar, and I ordered a drink, and I was waiting for you. And I remember seeing you walk past the window to the front door and seeing your smile because you saw me. And that, like, lit me up, and I was ready to meet you. I was so excited to meet you when I saw you smile. And you came in and we go downstairs. And this is back when we could smoke in bars.
The good old days.
And this was a, like a nice couch. It was a lounge area downstairs. And we sat there for hours. I mean, we got there 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, maybe 7 or 8 o'clock. And we were there till 2 in the morning, maybe. And we must have ordered, my drink of the day was the kamikaze on the rocks. Yours was the screwdriver. And I think we had about 9 drinks, 10 drinks each, 2 packs of cigarettes each. And I remember the bill came and I was not accustomed to New York City drink prices. But what was I going to do?
Right.
I had to take care of the bill. And we were, what, 22 years old? And I remember I took the train in, coming in from New Jersey, and I was going to take the train home. And we just hit it off so well, and I knew I wasn't going home. And you were like, you're not going home. And I remember going to the payphone to call my mom to say I was living at home. I was 22.
I was 22. I had to call my mom. Yeah, and
I tell her I'm not coming home.
Right.
And I remember coming back. And is that when I kissed you for the first time? When I came back or before I left?
I don't remember. I just remember there was a lot of making out going on. A lot of PDA.
Yeah.
A lot of PDA going on. Like grossly so. We were that couple that everyone was like, ew.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of it, but it's just so important.
Well, we went back to my room and then you said the famous line, let's keep things juvenile.
No, that was before we left. You asked me to come back to your place.
No, we were making out.
No.
No.
You asked me to come back to your apartment.
I don't think we're living the same.
You don't remember things.
Dimension.
I remember everything.
No. We were making out and I.
Nope.
Okay.
You said to me, come back to my apartment. And then I said, I would like to, but
let's keep things juvenile.
Yes.
And I was like, oh shit, he thinks I'm ugly.
No, but I really liked you. I didn't want to like fuck it up.
Right.
I really wanted to like take time with us, and we did.
We did. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's it.
That's a great story.
It's a great story. I mean, it's kind of, you know,
it's a great. Well, one that's sort of fun that, you know, for now that people have heard my mom on those episodes with my dad, you know, the episodes we did with my parents, episodes 104 and 105. A funny story is when they first met you, when we were dating, one night you came and slept at my parents. I guess I was home on, you know, like winter break or something It was right after we started dating. And you were trying to be a gentleman. And you said you slept down the basement. So I was in my room and you went down the basement to go to sleep like at a certain time. I just remember my mom walking downstairs, turning on the light in the basement and being like, what are you doing? Go sleep with my daughter.
Right. Really?
No, I think you didn't want to come up. You like
no,
felt
I
really
did not.
Bad.
And
right.
You came down.
Oh, I came down.
Yes.
Right.
And then you came down and then the next
day. Oh, and then the next day they said they heard us through the vents.
Yes.
My mom said, you know, we can hear everything through the vents, right? Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, only my mom would be like, most parents are like, you better not meet each other. She's like, what are you doing? Go sleep with my daughter.
No, but it's so funny because
they were like so ready to marry me off.
I guess. And for whatever reason, they wanted it to be me.
I don't know. Yeah.
But normally it was weird because normally I would have never gone to the basement or never been the gentleman or never. So obviously.
Oh, I know. Because I dated you in high school too.
Yeah.
So, man. Yeah, I knew that was the new
good
you.
Good old days.
I know.
Do you have any more?
I mean, yes, but there's sort of ones that I'm saving because we haven't told them and I want to put them in other episodes. Yeah, I don't know. I do want to say we're getting up close to 1,000 ratings and reviews. If anybody wanted to help us out. We would love, love, love if you are enjoying the podcast. Maybe don't base it on this episode.
Why not? It was fun.
It was fun.
Easy.
But please, a 5-star rating, maybe a review, you know, some nice, kind words.
No 4, no 3. Mm-mm. Obviously not 2 or 1.
No, God, no.
Right?
No, but, you know, just it does help us and, you know, a little.
We love, by the way, when those, people who leave reviews, I love reading those.
I do too. I love it.
We get like emails anytime a review is left and we always like you read it, I read it, we text each other like, hey, did you see this one?
I usually love reading reviews.
Right.
Not always. But no, but everyone's so nice. And you guys are so kind with your messages and everything. And you're always checking up on me and us and our parents. And we are so grateful to all of them. If I have not messaged you back during the pandemic, has been an exceptionally high time for messaging. People have been messaging me all the time. I do my best. I try my best. I read every message. I can't always get back to everybody, but I do try. And we hope everybody is staying safe out there. And we have some really awesome episodes planned, some fun stuff that I'm really excited about, some really exciting guests coming on. Adam's mom in particular is extremely excited about
one
of the guests.
Man, she's made a lot of appearances this episode.
Yeah, but don't say that. Don't give the surprise away.
I will not.
But anyway, we have some really exciting stuff coming up. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting us even through this. I know podcast listening is not easy right now. Not everybody is commuting and everything, and you guys continue to show us support, and we are so grateful. And just stay safe and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and support your local small businesses.
Yes, small businesses, please. Okay. Small businesses.
It's not all about Amazon and Walmart
absolutely.
And Target.
Yeah.
Even though they're awesome. We do it too. We get it. But
well, Amazon is debatably awesome right now.
Right.
They've had, there's some questionable.
Call it, it's not even that convenient anymore. I get so many canceled orders.
Well, there's one company that I ordered from. I just ordered, like 2 weeks ago, I ordered our daughter bathing suits from that I usually order from. And they are a next day delivery always, this company. Like, that's the reason I order from them is that they always have next day delivery. And they're like 2 weeks behind right now. They're not delivering.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, at least they're busy. So good
or
for them.
They're short staffed. I don't know.
Well, both. I mean, that's, maybe. You know, it's so hard. Like right now.
They're not
like,
a small business, though.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, they're not a huge business, but they're not a small business. Maybe they are a huge business. But anyway. And sign up for emails because I have a lot of good stuff in the works for emails and what is going on and lots of good resources for race relations and teaching our kids about race and a lot of other really important stuff.
Okay.
Good. All right.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.